Winger takes the mark, slows things down, short pass to Johannesson, and that's just about it. The Dogs have hung on at Etihad Stadium. The Western Bulldogs win by 6 points.
And we've got ourselves in a position where we can really capitalise and forge ahead and see where we end up. We're not talking about the F word because you've got to earn that right at some point, but we're not there yet. We'll enjoy this one for about 36 hours or 24 hours, and then we'll have a look at the game and we'll turn our minds to the Blues.
There, the Western Bulldogs have been revitalised by Luke Beveridge and a lot of his coaching plans and some of the strategic moves that the football club made during the trade season. They've shored up their defence with a mixture of experience and those young key position players, Roberts and Hamlin, going really well back there. And they've got an exciting midfield and some strong forwards to kick to. There's a hell of a lot to like, I would have thought, about the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, look, it was an interesting game. You couldn't get a more diametrically opposed game in nature to the one they played earlier this season when the Doggies shot out to the 55-point lead and got mowed down. But they were both pretty patient and cautious in their approach, both sides, and I think in the end the Doggies' better execution probably won them the day.
Well, let's go inside the Doggies' camp, and as part of SEN's match preview for Chromagen, Melbourne's number one solar hot water supplier to the building trade, and Livewire forward Tory Dixon has been good enough to join us. Good afternoon, Tory. How are you going?
Yeah, no, I'm really well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, it's our pleasure. And look, well done on what you've done throughout this season as well. You've kicked over 20-odd goals now and really becoming a real handful for your opponents.
Yeah, no, it's been good to get some consistency this year. And obviously my last couple of years I've had a really interrupted season with a few big injuries. So, yeah, no, it's really good to get a few wins on the board and, yeah, obviously play some consistent footy.
Tory, congratulations on the win. Just watching last night's game, we were chatting about what a different game it was to last time. Was that something that you had focused on as a club during the week, or did St Kilda bring a different look at the game, hence it evolved and was played out like it was?
It's an odd one. I think the game style and the way they went about it, they really brought the pressure in the first quarter, and I think that the game style sort of altered to try and stop our forward pressure and our forward turnovers and resulted in, it being a really contested sort of low-scoring game. But I guess to the guys' credit, we fought it out and, it was just really good to get the win.
What was it like up forward, Tory? Because it seems such a crowded game. And I know, like, the St Kilda forwards were having all sorts of trouble getting space and the coaching panel were desperately trying to clear the forward line out. Was it the same up your end?
It certainly was. It was one of the harder games I've sort of competed in this year. It was just felt that we were always outnumbered at in the forward line, and they blocked up the exits, and you know, it took us a while to get our game running, and we weren't sort of taking the ball off the line and playing the real exciting footy that we have played. So it was a credit to the Saints, and they played a really one-on-one game, and yeah, it was really hard to get off the leash.
Tory, Nathan Thompson here. Congratulations on your form and also the team's form, mate. What was the message from the coaching staff at quarter time? Because you're right, just watching it on TV, the Saints' pressure, the frontal pressure, and the way they crowded your team up was absolutely fantastic. What was the message from your coaching staff about the style of footy you needed to play to try and break it open?
Yeah, that's right. They did bring it, and I think they really set themselves to come out, considering we obviously got off to such a flyer last time we played them. The messages was the same as it was. Obviously, we wanted more composure with the ball. We wanted to take the game on and still try and break the lines. And obviously, the ball was probably coming out of the forward 50 a little bit too easy with them sort of fanning and spreading and making the ground big. So we just wanted to, you know, bring the ball to ground and really fight as hard as we could to, stay in the game when they were coming at us.
I'm just having a look at the goal kickers, Tory, and it's not often you see a side win a game with a leading goal kicker with one goal. In fact, nine of them. But it's probably a testimony too to there's a sort of multi-dimensional approach with your forward line, isn't there? You've got some talls, there's some sort of medium-sized forwards like yourself, and the smalls can get involved. There's quite a range of options there.
Yeah, no, it is, and I think that's the good thing about it. Obviously, someone can pop up each week with obviously Stringer and Boyd last week and me a couple of weeks ago, and then you've got guys like Mitch Wallace and Liam Picken and Dowhouse that chip in with their couple every week, and you know, it's just a real credit to all the boys. But yeah, the turnovers and the forward pressure that gets other guys into the game, and yeah, we can keep winning scores.
Tory, with the forward line now constructed like it is, with Tom Boyd, you've got a figurehead, a tall forward, Stringer stepping up as well. Has that meant that your role has evolved or changed even?
I guess a little bit. We like to change it around, give the opposition different looks from week to week in terms of who's a bit more deeper and who's a little bit more higher up. But my sort of how I go into games is pretty much just all about pressure, and obviously pressure gets you into the game. And even if I'm having a quiet day stats-wise, you know, if I can have my 3, 4, 5 tackles, and I can really impact the game without touching the ball as much.
And it's an interesting comment by you. How are you judged as a small, medium-sized forward? What is it that a coach wants to see you do? Is it goals, or is it more about tackles and pressure now?
I think it's more about the team defence, and really just buying into where we're going. And yeah, obviously we're all working together, and the unselfishness, and you know, off the back of work rates and plenty of tackles and those pressure acts comes a result of goals. And I'll never measure myself off goals. I'm more about the pressure acts and just doing the team things.
And tell us about the buzz about the Western Bulldogs. You've been, I suppose, one of the surprise packets of the season so far, with not only the results that you've achieved, but the quality of your play at times. You can certainly beat the best when you're on.
Yeah, I think that's a start. I think we've beaten 5 out of the top 8 sides, but we're only halfway through the season, and it's a long season, and there's some teams that are really starting to get up and going now, and you know, we're in that little pack from where it's very, very tight from about 5th to 13th. So we can see that the year's only half done, and yeah, we're going to keep on working to improve and yeah, try and win a few more games in this back season.
And Tory, on top of that, I'm just wondering, who are some of the younger players, the personalities, the characters that are driving us, the competitive spirit within the team from below? Obviously, from a senior perspective, Rob Murphy looks like he's really just jumped into the captaincy beautifully. But I'm interested to know, who are those next-level players at the club, the younger players that have got that natural presence and that natural personality that are driving up from underneath?
I think it's a real credit to a lot of the boys. There's so much competition for spots these days. Some of the guys that have obviously come into the team, Bailey Dale, and obviously Toby McLean, and you've got Mitch Honeychurch, and you've got a really good bunch of really young guys that are really pressing for spots, and you've got some guys in the VFL at the moment that are playing some great footy but just can't get looking because obviously we're winning, and some guys are playing good footy. So I think it's just a real credit to where the football clubs come, and you know, the competition now that from week to week, it's just hard to get a game.
We were just I was just really keen to know some of those natural leadership qualities amongst the younger group. Who are the ones that have got that natural presence and that competitive spirit that are helping drive the group? But you know, from the youth or the younger group.
Yeah, there's a big bunch of them, and it's a real credit to all those boys that they're pushing for spots. Guys like Nathan Rovat's got real leadership qualities about him. Marcus Bontempelli also. There's a whole group of them, and obviously going off into the older guys, Easton Wood, how he played on the weekend, just you know, shows how far he's come leaps and bounds, and it probably wasn't for him, we probably wouldn't have got the job done.
Well, Easton Wood's a good example of what I was going to ask you now. I mean, the number of players who seem to have made a quantum leap from last season to this season. Now, Luke Beveridge has got to take a large slice of credit for this. I've spoken to people like Lin Jong about, you know, what is it about him that so appeals to the players. He's clearly a very encouraging coach, but it's easy to be encouraging. What do you find particularly about his coaching makeup that is really inspiring this sort of dramatic improvement in so many younger players?
I think he's just letting the boys play their natural game and just take the game on. There's a new sort of lease of life, and you know, they've put guys the versatility of plenty of different players and putting them in different spots giving us a real different dimension and look about our team. And then, yeah, obviously the gradual improvement of all the younger guys and the guys such as Easton Wood and Jason Johannesson and Stringer and, everyone's really gelling and, we're playing some good footy.
And, Tori, just one final question. We appreciate your time. I love the story of how you made it through to AFL footy to play at the top level in playing at Noble Park, Division 1 footy in the East. Then you worked your way through to VFL and then finally got your opportunity. Is that something that you think actually helped you build your game and mature as a person before getting to the AFL, rather than some of the kids we see getting into the competition as an 18-year-old and not really being able to then sort of develop in the AFL system?
Yeah, no, 100% with that. I think as an 18-year-old, I thought I might have had the talent, but I probably wasn't mature enough. And I look back at it now and I'm kind of glad that I did have that apprenticeship sort of in the VFL. And even though I might have wanted to get picked up at 20, 21, and I didn't get picked up till 23, 24. I've just felt like I've done my apprenticeship, and it's taken me 4 or 5 years to mature and get that bigger body and know what it takes to sort of play at the level. Probably didn't have the work rate and the drive as an 18-year-old, but yeah, no, I really understand how tough it is for the 18, 19-year-old to come through and really step up and play really good, consistent AFL footy.
Good on you, Tori. Well, you're going well now. You're making up for lost time, and good luck to you and the Dogs for the rest of the year.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.